Well, I tried to get out of preaching this week because I thought, hey, you know, we got the Christmas play. It's going to be busy, and you know me, it's nice to be known. I don't like really long services. So I went to Millie and I said, what do you think about me not preaching this week and we'll just have the Christmas play? And she said, nope. And so here I am. I said, yes, ma'am. But, you know, there really, when she says something like that, it's sacrificial, because that means I'm going to take time away from the family to prepare. And that means that her Sunday morning is going to be like it is most Sunday mornings. She'll be a single mom getting seven children to church on her own and a special needs child in the midst of it. I can't tell you what a sacrifice it is. And so it really causes me to minimize any of my viable excuses for skipping church. It leads the way there. I want to talk this morning. We'll be in the gospel reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 that Deacon Ron just read. About the most highly esteemed woman the world has ever known, Mary. Interesting, Father Don has given us quite a bit of background, as he always does when he preaches in the Gospels. And Luke, in particular, is a kind of a unique Gospel because it's believed, and it's become pretty common belief, that it's Mary who told Luke the stories that he penned in this Gospel. And one of the evidences of that is he mentions Mary more than any other gospel writer, 12 times. I think Matthew is second with 5 times. 2 of the gospel writers don't even mention her by name, just by title. So he does a great emphasis on Mary, and I believe that it's, you could see her in the story so clearly. And this is, you know, we tend to romanticize Advent, don't we? The story. We hang it on our tree, it's ceramic figures, but this, you know, this was a time, let's remember, unlike any other time in Mary's life, the most exciting time in a young woman's life. She's engaged to be married. I mean, it's lovely, it's beautiful, it's endless possibilities. Really, right now, ignorance is truly bliss, right? I'm sure she was as naive as many of us were going into engagement and marriage. So this is an incredible time, unlike any other time in her life, and yet her dream is challenged here. I mean, this wasn't news like, oh, great. This was like, the two children, the white picket fence, whatever the Jewish version of that is, the angel was confronting that. He says, this isn't going to be your dream. All those things that you've been thinking of as a little girl, I'm going to alter these now. And so what I'd like to look at is how Mary, I want to look at how she responded, how she reasoned, and ultimately how she responded. We'll just go kind of line upon line here, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Luke here is having to give a context for Nazareth. If he was, his audience was not generally the Jews or the people in Palestine. They would not have known what Nazareth was. What, Nazareth? This little bitty tiny city? It's like you and I going to some folks and saying, trying to get across this planet and going, yes, the archangel came to a city called Arley. And he told this young engaged woman that she's going to have a baby by someone other than her fiancé. I mean, this really, I want us to catch the magnitude, the complexity of this story. I'm sitting up in the upstairs in our house. Millie and I thought when we moved to the two-story house there would be quiet places. That's not the case. But I'm trying to find a quiet place to prepare my sermon. I'm sitting there, I'm writing, I'm thinking about just this story and Luke pinning it and trying to get it across to the reader, and there's this little ceramic display of the Holy Family sitting in front of me, and I look over, I'm like, that's just not the case. It wasn't just this beautiful, simple story. This was a difficult challenge that Mary was going to face. Let's consider her reaction. Now, Millie did say all we needed is an abbreviated homily. Now, that's abbreviated. It's not in the vernacular of most preachers. We'll do our best here. And he came to her and said, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. You know, her first reaction, and it's generally our first reaction anytime we're disillusioned, we're challenged, something's not going the way we want it to go, we have a knee-jerk flesh reaction, right? Are you with me? Her reaction was very natural, fear. She was troubled. She was scared. You know, when Tammy was teaching our marriage class, she said, you know, get to know your particular knee-jerk sinful reaction. We all have them, don't we? Way we were raised, certain things we've been through causes, you know, certain fears, certain anxieties, certain insecurities. So things happen, and we have a knee-jerk reaction in our flesh. We get scared. We get troubled. We get anxious. And so Mary is, she's human. And so she has this knee-jerk reaction. I had one, I think it was yesterday morning. I come downstairs, got to sleep in, rare occasion. Walk into the kitchen, and Isaac comes up and says, Dad, something wrong with the toilet. It's not flushing. So I said, oh, great. So I go in the downstairs bathroom, and it's like we got like three rolls of toilet paper in the toilet. Water's up to the brim, and I'm thinking, oh, and this is the intro in my day. I'm holding it together at this point. I say, plunger. Plunger's upstairs. Go upstairs. I'm coming down, and I hear, kush. And I'm running in the room, and Andrew is running out of the bathroom as a tidal wave of water is following him, screaming. And I'm running in, and I'm just going, why? Why? You know, and Millie's going, don't overreact. And I'm going, why? And I'm turning to Andrew, and I'm going, it's okay. Why? And he's crying, what? You know? This is what we do when things don't go our way, whether it's the simplicity of a toilet that's overflowing or something more complex where our dreams are being challenged or shattered. But look what Mary does, and this is really simple, but it's so true. Though she was afraid, I want you to hear me, she stayed in God's presence. She could have fled that scene, y'all. She could have got out of there or cut it off at any point. This is the Annunciation, by the way, and this is where she was chosen to bear the Christ child. But I would say she accepted this role. And she could have fled. She could have checked out at any point. But she stayed in God's presence. I want you to hear me. It is the worst thing we can do and the most natural thing that we often do when we're facing life's challenge and we're dealing with our own knee-jerk reaction to sin, to flee from God's presence. Did you hear me? It is the most natural thing that we can do. We're dealing with guilt and shame sometimes, or failure. Something's not going our way. So we fall into the oldest tactic of the enemy. What is that? Cut off the supply line. What do? We get out of the Word. We break off fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We quit coming to church and receiving Holy Eucharist. The many ways that we have to feast upon Him. We get in that place and we cut off the supply line. Stay in God's presence. What happens as she stays in His presence? This is beautiful. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God." This place, Henry Nouwen used to say about prayer, he said, it's a place where I get to hear God the Father say good things about me. A place where I get to hear God the Father say good things about me. This place that she was in, where the angel said, you're known, you're loved, you're favored. God the Father wants to speak these words into our life. He knows we need Him, especially when we're facing challenges. If we'll just stay in His presence. The simple discipline of staying in His presence. How many times has He lifted you up and dusted you off? You know what? One of the things I love about liturgical worship? Because it's dealing with the obvious. That we're sinners and we need reconciliation. We need someone to pronounce mercy over us every Sunday. It's dealing with the obvious. Our need. Just the other day, I was just in a place riddled with my own failure. And I just got in the psalm, and the psalmist, I think it was Psalm 40, said, cry unto me, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. And that just catapulted me into my day. Just that place, getting into God's presence, staying in His presence, not falling into the oldest tactic of the enemy, and that's to cut our supply line off. Let's look at Mary's reasoning here. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? That is a very fair question. There is no historical reference to an immaculate conception. I mean, what was, you know, oh, okay, yeah, that's, that happened to so-and-so in the Old Testament. No, never happened before or since. This is a fair question. And it's just a reminder to us, this relationship is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. I was sharing this point with Robert, and he said, you know, Robert, in the way Robert says, he said, that's intimate stuff. You know, that's intimate stuff. The fact that God is not put off by your questions or your confusion or your needs. He's not put off by that. He desires relationship, young people. Conversational prayer. Will you go to Him and you tell Him, this is what I'm struggling with. This is a need that's not being met. I'm concerned about this. It is a relationship. Mary. And see, one of the things that she was after here, she was seeking confirmation. This was a major lifestyle change for her. Okay? Things were going to be drastically altered here. And she's seeking confirmation. Well, how could this be? Of course, the angel gives her confirmation. And he said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is a 6 month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. God was so faithful to, through the angel, to give her this a description of the process, even though that, I'm sure she was going, okay, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and then she didn't understand it, no doubt. And then the confirmation, your cousin, who has been known as barren and she's old, will conceive a child. This, I just want you to see God's power, nothing is impossible. She stayed in His presence and she sought confirmation. Listen, God is not some elusive riddle. He's not. He's not out for you to be confused. He's not the author of confusion. And He gives us innumerable ways to confirm His will in our lives. His Word, one another, authority He puts in our lives, circumstances, our own needs. So many ways that we, for safety and protection, I was having a discussion with some brothers this morning just about, don't make big life-altering decisions apart from ways that God has given you to confirm. Seek confirmation. And He's not elusive. He is there. He wants to confirm. And He speaks in a multitude of ways. And don't be afraid to have honest dialogue with the Father. That's what Mary's doing here. I mean, she's opening herself up here. Honest dialogue. It is a real relationship. I remember when Mill and I were making a pretty major life-altering decision to move to Fairfield. You know, and we'd been praying about it. We'd submitted it to Jim, and Jim felt good about it. But, you know, when our honest dialogue was, Lord, we need 3 bedrooms, at least a bath and a half, and central heat and air. In a certain location around it. I mean, we're just being honest. We have this family. This is what we think we need in this kind of dialogue. He's not put off by our questions, our needs. Stay in His presence. He will confirm. Lastly, let's look at her response. This is one of the greatest lordship statements in Scripture. We've been singing that lovely song that Jane's been leading us in that has this line in it. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She stayed in His presence. She sought and received confirmation, but listen to me, it was still going to take a costly step of faith. God will not remove the risky, costly step of faith. If you and I want to enter into a deeper level in the kingdom of God, like Mama Gross was exhorting us to become like children, then it's going to oftentimes take a risky, costly step of faith. God doesn't remove the step of faith. You've heard me share it before. You know, when we were seeking to move here, we had a home that we thought was the one. It was a 3-2. It was right in that neighborhood. And so we went in and thought we could negotiate something, but it went under contract. Right after it goes under contract to someone else, we get a full price offer on our house. I'll never forget that simply because God was saying, you know what? I'm not going to remove the step of faith. We were sitting around in my office last week, and we've got a dear brother that's he's resigned and no longer going to be at the school. He's been with us for years, and it's kind of created this couple of positions, and one position we just need to fill with someone that has certain educational qualifications and for our accreditation. And we're talking about this candidate, and he teaches at a pretty affluent school over the mountain, and he had in an email had told one of my colleagues, well, if a position ever comes open, please let me know about it. So we're sitting in my office and we're trying to formulate an attractive offer based on Restoration Academy resources. All the fringe benefits. And what the funny thing is, we're seriously trying. And we know about what this guy makes, and finally we just start laughing really loud. We're like, what is this exercise in futility? And Ben reminds us, Ben turns to me, God's not going to remove the step of faith. God's not going to remove the costly step of faith. If you want to enter into life in the kingdom, then it generally has a cost associated with it. It's got risk. Usually it's downward mobility. You want life in the kingdom? Miracles happen where they're the most needed. That means you have to go there and dwell there. That's why the end of our missional mandate says what? What are we doing this for ultimately? To bless the vulnerable. Is that easy? Most people spend their entire lives trying to isolate themselves from vulnerable people. That's self-preservation. Mary stayed in God's presence in the midst of her own fear and troubling heart. She sought and received confirmation. And she took a costly step of faith. This woman, her dreams were altered. Her family, her relatives and friends, most of them would reject her. But her dream was revived as she bore and raised the Christ child and became the most esteemed woman the world has ever known. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to say the creed and then move into the passing of the peace.